Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The churches among us teach with complete unanimity the Augsburg Confession doctrine that the decree of the Council of Nicaea concerning the unity of the divine essence and concerning the three persons, the God is one God with three persons, is true and is to be believed without any doubt. Likewise, they teach that since the fall of Adam, all human beings who are propagated according to nature are born with sin. That is, without fear of God, without trust in God, and with concupiscence. Likewise, they teach that the Word, that is, the Son of God, took upon himself human nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that there might be two natures, divine and human, inseparably conjoined in the unity of one person, one Christ, truly God, and truly a human, being born of the Virgin Mary, who truly suffered, was crucified, died, and was buried, that he might reconcile the Father to us, and be a sacrifice not only for original guilt, but also for all actual sins of human beings. And our epistle text for this evening shows us this very thing was done through his blood. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, these being redemption, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and of calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. In the Old Testament, we find time and time again the Israelites must perform sacrifices. Animals must be put to death for their sins. And just the same in the New Testament, there must also be the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. That's what the law of God demands for any and all infractions, no matter how large, no matter how small. It doesn't matter if you would go to jail or prison or if you would be left alone for whatever it may be. Don't doubt it. Don't be fooled. All of them, every one of them, from the smallest to the largest, is worthy of eternal death. Your death. And again, not just your death, but eternal death for you. Have you sinned today? Have you sinned more than once? Then you have not just one, but more than one eternal death awaiting you. That's what the law of God demands. It demands blood, the blood of the one who committed the sin. Unless another death were to take place in your place. In the Old Testament, this occurred through the sacrificing of goats and bulls and heifers, as we heard a few moments ago. It has been this way since the fall into sin. We hear about Adam and Eve and how they partook of the fruit of the tree that they were commanded not to partake of. And when God had sent them from the garden, he killed a few animals to give them skin clothing. Animals had to be killed. Blood had to be shed for those sins. Otherwise, Adam and Eve would have been eternally condemned. The sacrificing of animals has been taking place throughout the Old Testament, but tonight and tomorrow we are hearing again of that one great sacrifice in the New Testament, Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctified in the Old Testament for the purification of flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ and the sacrifice that we'll be hearing about tomorrow night, his death on the cross of Calvary? That is not a question. We're not being asked if it will be that much more. We're being told that it will be. Therefore, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Jesus' death has already occurred, but we still continue to honor it and ponder it, and considerate every day of our lives, especially during the season of Lent. We ponder it because Jesus bled, not for a sin of his own, not for sins of his own, and not for his own sinful nature, but for our sins and our sinful natures. He bled for your sin, and he bled for your sinful nature, and he died for your sin and your sinful nature. In that death, Jesus has redeemed you from eternal deaths that you rightly owed. He died according to his own will, though. No one could have taken his life unless he willed it. So our text continues, for a will isn't where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. God tells us in the next verses of Hebrews that everything has to be purified with blood. Not just the people, but the book and the altar and the vessels all had to be purified with blood. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Sin must not be taken lightly. Every one of them is worth eternal death. But so also must salvation not be taken lightly. Jesus, God himself, bled for you rather than let you die eternally apart from him. He willingly gave up his life. Again, no one could take it from him. But he offered it in your place under the condemnation of the law that you might be his eternally. That's what he willed. And because he has died, as we'll hear tomorrow night, his will has come into effect for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.